Was ist da das war bis hin? 10.
Ja, jetzt habe ich 10.
10, 15 ist gut. Okay. Okay, the fellows on Zoom can hear me well. You're good? Thumbs up. Okay.
We hear you.
Okay, the guys in the back can hear me? Okay, assuming that nobody gardens our lawns anymore, we'll be good to go. So we left off yesterday. We were talking about two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim as to what the parasha of Ger Katan is all about. How do we get on to Ger Katan? Because Tosfos got us into Ger Katan, because it's clear from our Gemara that Ger Katan exists on a... we have to just mute ourselves. That Ger Katan exists on a level of Deraisa. How exactly does it work? So we have two very, very different approaches in the Gedolei HaRishonim. We have what we call conventional wisdom, probably representative of the Rashba's view and probably most of the Rishonim, that it's based on the regular rules of Zoch Darim Shabbafanav and Zechiyah is Labitam Shlichos and Zechiyah works for Katam and Deraisa, etc. And then we have Tosfos, the dissenting view, Tosfos and Sanhedrin, that said that it's based on Naseh HaGeiris Begufa Shokotan, and you don't really even need Zoch Darim Shabbafanav. So we pointed out that according to all opinions, you have to make sense of the Gemara in Ksubas Tafir Aleph. But the Gemara says, Igdil Lichayim Limchais. How do we explain away that phenomenon, Igdil Lichayim Limchais? So we said, according to conventional wisdom, it's obvious. The same way you can undo any other schus. According to Tosfos and Sanhedrin, it's a little bit less obvious. It's based on the requirement of Kabbalah Samitzvahs. And whenever you have Igdil Lichayim Limchais, by definition, you don't have a Kabbalah Samitzvahs. Is there any nafkamin ladina between the two approaches? At the end of the day, Macha is going to work. So is there enough Kamin Ladina? So one last akuda just from the end of yesterday shiur before we move on to today's thrust of this sugya. So there may be the following nafkamina. There is a Rashba in Maseches Kedushin in the first parak where the Rashba proposes the following Yechidish Godol in the sugya of Zochlan Shalbafanav. It's Yadua that Zochan can be unraveled. The Gemara says that explicitly, that if the person comes from China and he says, I'm not too interested in this chus, so he has the ability to be meicher, he has the ability to unravel this chus. So the Rashba writes that it's mistafina loimar, he's afraid to say the following, lulei de mistafina, but he says it anyway. The Rashba says, lulei de mistafina, I'm tittering, I'm shaking, I have to get into the Rashba psyche, he's nervous to say the following, but he says it. He says that the din that you can be meicher on a zechus, that only makes sense when something is not what's called a zchus gomor, when something is not an absolute 100% zchus. You know, most things in this world have pros and cons. There are very few things in this world that are absolutely, completely good. Most things have a little pro, a little con, a little positive, a little negative. Let's say a matana. So receiving a matana is fundamentally a good thing, but not a perfect thing. Not everybody always wants to receive gifts. Sometimes a person doesn't want to be beholden to the giver of the gift. So there's a little bit of a negativity involved with their gift. It says the Rashba, when you're dealing with something which is not 100% zchus gomor, then it's nita to macha. Because then the person could say, for me, it's not really a zchus. And if a loy mil says it's not really a zchus for me, so I have a right to undo the zchus. But what if you have something that's absolutely objectively a zchus? It's a zchus gomor. There's no downside whatsoever. So the Rashba says it could be that when something is an absolute good, positive thing, what do you mean you're going to say it's not a zchus? A joke. It's botla daito etzel das kolodom. What you're saying is dvar metalim. Of course it's a zchus. It's objectively a zchus. It's 100% a zchus. So there are really three different levels of potential things that are done on behalf of somebody else. There are things that don't register as being a zchus. Even if it's not a chov gomer, but it's not really an objective zchus, so then ein chavin liyadam shleb b'fanav. Chavin, as we pointed out in the Seder yesterday, chavin doesn't only mean something which is really, really bad, something which has not officially been recognized by the halacha to be objectively a zchus, is ein chavin liyadam shleb b'fanav. Then you have what's called a zchus, so that's objective zchus, it's 90% chance it's probably advantageous, to be determined later, if the person unravels it, then it will unravel. Then you have the third category, which is the zchus gomer, which the person doesn't even have the koach to unravel. So if that's the case, maybe we can plug this into the geir sugi. What would you say about the following case? Let's say you have a non-Jewish kid. Nebuch, the kid was his parents or who knows what. They put him up for adoption, his parents for whatever. I don't want to say anything negative, but we know when sometimes, you know, the kind of a world that he's coming from, that this kid had no chance. He would have lived a miserable, terrible life. And then he's adopted by Jewish parents, who are from parents, they're good parents, they give him a yeshiva education, they give him everything, he's very well off, he's wealthy, he's got a mamash, he's a gewaltiger, what an unbelievable life, a mayor, a lo yimunki super life. So it's a zchus, no question about it. On the other hand, there is a little bit of a downside. What's a little bit of a downside? He has to keep Torah mitzvahs. A little bit of a downside, he could have possibly been adopted by non-Jewish parents. So maybe he wouldn't have had the burden of Torah mitzvahs. So objectively, we say that's a good thing. Objectively, to put the whole picture together, it's still a pretty good thing. It's a schus. But it could be when this kid turns 13, he has the courage to say, you know, I would have much rather been adopted by non-Jewish parents. I would have gotten all the same wealth, I would have gotten the same everything else, and I wouldn't have to be bothered with getting up to Dam Shachris before Zman Kriyishma. So, you know, he would have been okay. So that, you can argue, maybe that's not his chos gomer. But what if it's a kind of a geirus that's mamshes chos gomer? It's an absolute, no question, can't even negotiate being a chos gomer. What does that mean? Let's say instead of a child being put up for adoption, his non-Jewish family decided to convert with him. The whole non-Jewish family converted with this child also. So he has the best of all worlds. He's going to be Jewish, he's going to be from, he's going to be wealthy, he's going to have everything, and he's going to have his biological parents with him. So that's unbelievable. Now, for this kid to turn around at the age of 13 and say, no, I don't want to be Jewish, I'd rather be out of my own, I don't want to live in this house, I want to be out of my own. One could argue that's what the Gemara talks about, the category of it's called this guy Rabban of Imo. This is not that we're taking a child out of a, we found the kid in a train station and we're being a Megayer him. No, he's coming with his Goyish family, his non-Jewish family, they're all converting together. One could argue, that's the greatest chus in the world. What Meshugana Shev Meshuga Goyim would say he doesn't want to be part of his biological family. So one could argue that under those circumstances, maybe Dilo Einu Chol Nimchais. Maybe that's not Nitan Temachol. Because if the Rashba is writing Kedusha, Nabai is Chus Gomor, you can't be Moicha, so then maybe the Geir Kotha would not be able to be Moicha under these circumstances. So even if that Rashba is right, we're not sure he's right. The Rashba himself wasn't sure he's right. He was nervous to say it, but he said it anyway. So Allah said that Rashba is right. So then whether or not this child of this Geir Bonavima would be able to be Moicha would depend on the 2 days in Rishonim. If you hold that Igdilucha of Nimchos is based on unraveling his chos, so then we have to put the brakes in that. Who says we have a koyach to unravel his chos, which is chos gomer? But if you tell me like Atosis and Asugya that Igdilucha of Nimchos is based on a lack of Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, and if you really hold the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs is of Akev, and you need it, and even a Kotah needs it, and we can't envision a gamer without a Kabbalah HaMitzvahs ever, so then push comes to shove. This kid, when he's Meicha, even though he doesn't have the koyach to unravel his chos gomer, but he's saying he's not mekabel mitzvahs. And obozoi, he's not mekabel mitzvahs. Now the geirus is going to be both l'mavuto. So this would chapa nafkabinam. So this is a shayla in Poskim. The Chassam Sofer has a whole tshuva about this topic. Now what would the din be aloch l'mais? You have a kid who is as chuz gomer she'en kamoyu that he should become Jewish. And he still wants it. That's meshugah. He still wants to be moicha. So the pashas advarim is that shayla Chassam Sofer should depend on our sugi. It depends on the 2 days in Rishayim. What's the nature of Igdil Chayim Limchais? Which in turn depends upon what you think the engine that's driving the geirus is in the first place. Which in turn depends on what you think about Zechim Yitam Shlichos. So once again, it's Thursday, it's right at the end of the week. And the tomorrow still say it a little bit, but at the end of the full week, and we're still back to square one. Everything hinges upon Zechim Yitam Shlichos. The whole world hinges upon Zechim Yitam Shlichos. All Shayas Rechos Geirus, all of Gerkotan hinges upon Zechim Yitam Shlichos, Lam Yitam Shlichos. So that was just the Shirayim from yesterday. But now we move in today back to square one. Back to Ger Kotan. So Tosfos made an observation in Asugya that Ger Kotan exists and it exists in Torah. And Tosfos had the problem, how does it work? How can Zechiya work? Zechiya is Bitam Shlichus. So notwithstanding the Rishonim who say that it works based on Zechiya, is Lam Bitam Shlichus. Notwithstanding the Tosfos in heaven that turned the world upside down and says, Nasa Ger Skubash Kotan, there was a third Mahalach in the Sugya. And this Mahalach is proposed by the Shach. The Shach claims this Bedasa Rashi Maseches Ksubis, maybe yeah, maybe no. So we're just going to call it the Shach's understanding of the Sugya. He claims the Bedasa Rishayim, but we're going to just call his innovation in the Sugya. He has a brand new approach to the Sugya. Those who maybe had a chance to look at the Shach and the Kudus HaKesef, I know some people were hakeling me earlier this week, at the Shach and the Kudus HaKesef, just as a background, the Shach wrote a perush on the side of Shulchan Aruch at the same time that the Taz wrote it. The Taz and the Shach were contemporaries. They were just about 60 years apart. The Taz was the undisputed God Ladoi. He was the senior member of the generation. And the Shach was 50, 60 years younger than him. So they wrote perushim on Shulchan Aruch at the same time, neither one knowing about the other one's perush. That's why the Shach doesn't reference the Taz in his Sefer. Then after the Taz was published, so the Shach saw it, so then he wrote some Ha'aras, Nekudas, which he wanted to disagree with some of the things that the Taz said. So some people were very upset at the Shach for doing that, because they felt that it was not respectful to the Taz. The Taz was the senior Rav of Europe, and the Shach was 50, 60 years younger, and he was writing Ha'aras and Shtarka Titus against the Taz. So the Shach, in his introduction to his Sefer, writes that nobody should ever Chas V'Shalom accuse him of being disrespectful to the Taz. He says he held the Taz in the highest, highest esteem, and he even tells a fascinating story how the Taz once ended up spending Shabbos in the Shach's house. And the Shach writes how he served him, Mamashi. He was Mishamash like an Eved Mishamash's rabbi. He was took care of him and he fed him and he weighed on every single need that he had. But what does that have to do with disagreeing with what he writes in Shulchan Aruch? He says, Tayyar Lamdani Tzarech. He said, Tayyar Machamta Shotayr, Machamta Shotayr, Machamta Shotayr. So, with the greatest respect, the greatest Derech Eretz, you have to fight to the end. You got to fight. If you have a Machlekes and you think that the other sheet is not correct, you got to Mamash. Tayyar, Lamdani Tzarech, Emeshir Adarfek. So the Shach wrote his Hasagas against the Taz, and he called those Hasagas Nekudas HaKesef. Why did he call them Nekudas HaKesef? Because the Taz, the Seif, was called the Turei Zohav. So the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Turei Zohav Nasaloch Im Nekudas HaKosef. So the Nekudas HaKosef would be written as a commentary, as a critique of the Sefer of the Turei Zohav. Of course, there was a big problem. What was the big problem? That Turei Zohav was with a Tess, and Turei Zohav and Shir HaShirim was with a Tof. They're two totally different words. So there are two answers to that, Kasha. First is the Shach thought it was a joke. He thought it was just cute to call the Sefer that anyway. And number two is that the Shach figured most Yeshiva guys who read the Torah, because the guys have no idea what Tiktik anyway. No one knows how to spell anyway. So no one's going to chop. No one knows what Shir Shirim is anyway. So no one's going to remember from Pesach night how you spell the word Torah Zav. But at the end of the day, it was a play on the words Torah Zav. So bottom line is, so the Shach wrote a 30-page critique against the Taz and Ilchus Pidgin Aben. And in the middle of that critique, he comes up with his theory about how Ger Kotzen works. So comes the Shach and says, I'll tell you a whole new insight is to Ger Kotzen. Ger Kotzen is based on a sugi in Kedushin in the second parak. It's based on the sugi of Apotropis. The Gemara says in the second parak of Kedushin that we derive from a pasuk that the Beis Din has a responsibility and the ability to act on behalf of Yisoymim. So if a father passes away, now all of a sudden you have these little Yisoymim who just yarshed a lot of money. Who's going to invest the money properly? Who's going to take care of these kids properly? They don't know what they're doing. The kid's 10 years old. How's he going to know what stocks to invest in? How's he going to know what real estate deals to make? So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that Beis Din Mamil Lem Apotropos. Beis Din is required to appoint an apotropos to take care of the needs of the ketanim, and they have the right to buy and sell, etc. How did the Gemara know this is true? The Gemara derives it from Psukim in Parshas Maaseh. It says, V'nasi Echad, that when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, so they were about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, so the Torah tells us that there were, each Shevet had a special person who was appointed to be metapa with the Shevet, to take care of all the buying and selling, take care of all the division of the Kark, etc. The person who was in charge of that particular chelik of that Shevet was called the Nasi. So that Nasi had to deal with the Ketanim also. Inevitably, every Shevet had some Yisraimim, so who was going to take care of the Yisraimim's property? Obviously, they didn't see him. So the Gemara says, the Kedush of Membeis, you see from here, Adin Luderis, as Adin Deraisa, that Mishameis, Beizim, Amidol, and Apotropos, the Yisraimim, Lachlik, Pedich, Sevim, that the Beizim has to be in charge to make sure that Apotropos, the guardian, like we have Lahavl and Sekular also, you have a guardian in the estate, Nebuchadnezzar, there's somebody who's underage, so the court will appoint somebody. Anyone knows anything about law? Mr. Alter, where are you? You on? Yeah, so what do we call that in secular law?
A guardian.
Good, very good. Okay, it's mechavin to the guardian. Okay, so guardian, we call an apotropos. So an apotropos is appointed by the halacha, by the Beis Din, and that's a din midaraisa. So there is a big machlekes harishayim as to what exactly an apotropos can and cannot do on the level of the araisa. So the Rashba in Maseches Gittin and Daf Beis comments on the sugya there, which says as follows. The Gemara in Gittin says that, let's say you have an apotropos and you have these this ketanim, and the ketanim have fields, and the fields are producing fruit and vegetables and grain. Now the problem is, it comes time to take trumas and maizos off. Who in the world is going to take off trumas and maizos off of this food? The ketanim have to eat. Who's going to be maizos their food for them? So the Gemara says, no big deal. The apotropos is going to maizos the food for them. The apotropos has the right to take off the trumas and maizos for them. The Gemara says, the only thing is that the apotropos can only do it for the food that the Yisomim have to eat. Let's say the Yisomim are running a business. They want to start exporting carrots and peppers to Newbridge Farms. So that the apotropos can't do. The apotropos only has the koyach to be maizos trumas and maizos, and therefore the Yisomim le'echol of a lola haniach, not for other kinds of profits, not for long-term investments, but just for the purpose of feeding the kids supper. for tonight, not the upper trumpet, says the kach to be mafresh shumas and maisers. So the Rash proposes a famous question as to how in the world does that work? Don't we have a din that a term she'en shaloi? In order to mafresh shumas and maisers, you have to be the bailim. So the bailim are the ketanim, katan can't be mafresh shumas and maisers. The only way to be mafresh shumas and maisers without being the bailim is to shalichos. But the problem is that the katan is a lav bar shalichos. The katan doesn't have the kach to appoint a shalich. So you have a 5-year-old kid who's sitting down eating dinner, and how does that work? The food's treif. The chupas and maisers weren't taken off properly. How in the world does that work? So the Rashba quotes two different approaches to this. So one approach the Rashba says is that this is not only a din midrabbanan. That min haTorah, the apotropos has no koyach whatsoever to be mafresh for chupas and maisers. The apotropos has koyach to sell property. The apotropos has koyach to work out the finances of the children. But the apotropos has zero koyachus and he said the heter. He's not the bailam. He doesn't own it. He's nishkin shlichus. He's nishkin bailam. He's a gornish. So min haTorah he can't be mafresh anything. So how are we going to do a fresh shumas and maisers if it doesn't work min haTorah? So says the Rash, it must be hefker beis din hefker. The beis din in order, the only solution, the only way to enable the kids to eat kosher food is that you have to be makna all the property from the ketanim. You have to be mafka the ketanim's property and make the apotropsim the new owners of this property, and that was their property. Now it's their devils. Now they have a kach to be mafka shumas and maisers. So you have to go through the vehicle of hefker beis din hefker. This is not the first, not the last time that we invoke hefker beis din hefker. Hefker beis din hefker is a din d'oraisa derived from sukkim in Masechet Gittin daf lamed vav amud beis. So it works without. So the Beis Din transfers ownership of the payers from the Ketanim to the Apotropos, and now he's Mafresh. And the emesis is the Rash, but he really could have done this for L'Haniach also. We could have used the same mechanism of Hefke Beis and Hefke, could have easily worked L'Haniach. But Beis Din didn't want to do so. They didn't think it was necessary. Hefke Beis and Hefke is not a free-for-all. No pun intended. It's not a Hefke. You don't do it all the time. You only do it when it's necessary. So to feed the kids kosher food, that's necessary. To invest in the farmer's market and make a lot of money off tomatoes, that's not so kosher, not so significant. And therefore, we're not going to do that. But Ikaron, the whole Afrosh is not really working. It's only going through the back door through the vehicle of Hefker Beis and Hefker. But the Ikaron, the Lulei, the din of Hefker Beis and Hefker, the Apotropos has no koyach to be mafka shumas and maisers. And then the Rashba quotes the second approach. That this works min haTorah. How does it work min haTorah? Because of a brand new cloud that we just made up called Yal Apotropos Kiyad Bailam Nami. That the Torah gives us a new category derived from Nasi Echad. That's the parasha of Nasi Echad. Nasi Echad doesn't just mean that we appoint a court guardian. Nasi Echad means that the court guardian, the Apotropos, becomes the Yad HaYisayimim. He is the Bailam. The Torah, it's not Hefke Beis Hefke. The Torah appoints him as the Bailam. And just as he is the Bailam vis-a-vis the Dinim of Cheshe Mishpat, he is the Bailam vis-a-vis the Dinim of Chumas and Maisus as well. And therefore, Midarais, he can be Mafresh on behalf of the Ketanim. Why doesn't he do it L'Haniach? If it already works, even for Askvar, it already works for the Torah, so why don't we let him do it L'Haniach? So that's what the Rashba says, because it doesn't look nice. Nirkim Mizal Zamanichsei Yisayimim. That means it's true min haTorah it really works, and min haTorah you really could explain that could work l'haniach also. This is pasnish. It's not nice. Why should we do more than we have to? Bite off a little bit more than you can chew. Don't do too much. Even though min haTorah you really can, it looks like a little bit of a taking lightly the nechzei ha'yisayim. So here the Rashba has two fundamental different opinions for us. Fundamentally, you say this take a machlokes 2 days in Rashba, getting in days. What is the koyach apotropos lahafresh? Is it based on only a din midrabban of hefke beis din hefke? I mean, at Torah it doesn't work, or does it work based on the din deraisa of yad apotropos get a bailam? What's the nekudas samachlokes? So clearly, the 2 days in Rashba are arguing about what is the nature of this gzeres hakosov. Is this gzeres hakosov that an apotropos can be mechalik yirui, can be mechalik all the nichse hayisaimim, can buy and sell nichse hayisaimim? Is this just a quirk in the Nimaminus? This is a prana cheshe mishpat. This is like the Torah says, Nebuch, what are you going to do? The ketanim have to survive, so the Torah gives them special koiches in cheshe mishpat. Or do we say, no, that the Torah mamish elevates the apotropos to be literally the yad ha-bailam. He's mamish the yad ha-yisem. He's the bailam. He's the new bailam on the property. The reason why he can buy and sell is because he is the bailam on the property. If that's the case, and that's a din l'kol tarkula, that we can melef yofina milsa v'milsa, that we can extrapolate from cheshe mishpat to yoredeya. So if you hold it's just a quirk, it's a special chus to buy and sell, but it's not that he's the bailam, so that quirk doesn't extend over to yoredeya. But if it's a koyach of apotropos kiyad bailam, then it works even if it's a heter as well. So it's with this background, the Shach now says that he thinks that the second day of the Rashba is the correct one, that this is a real din midaraisa, and it extends to yoredeya as well, and now it can extend to chus geiros also. Why is it that you can be megayer a ger katan? There's no shlichus and there's no zechiyah and there's nothing, and the shach doesn't believe in this taisus and sanhedrin. There's no nasa geres b'gufishukon. The whole thing is not true. How does ger katan work? It works as follows: ger katan revealness all das beis din. Geres is by definition taking place in the context of beis din for other reasons, because a geres without a beis din anyway, even a ger gadol without a beis din is botel mavutel. So you need a geres, you need a beis din anyway for the purposes of geres. So the beis din for a ger katan is wearing two hats. It's a briska beis din. They're wearing the hat of a beis din shel geirus, and they're also wearing the hat of a beis din shel apotropos. That since the zechiyah is being done by an apotropos, being done by ein lecha apotropos god mizeh, the beis themselves, the three dayanim themselves are the ein lecha apotropos god mizeh. So they are serving as an apotropos for the katan, and as an apotropos of the katan, they can do things above and beyond what regular zechiyah could do. So it could be, says the shach, regular zechiyah taka fails. You cannot have regular zechiyah for a katan because zechiyah could be is taka mitam shlichus, and the Tosfos and Sanhedrin is not correct, and the regular conventional wisdom of ger katan doesn't work, but the special razzle dazzle newfangled geirus based on the kerch of beis din of apotropos, that is going to work with deraisa. Of course, that will only work according to one day in the Rashba. According to the day in the Rashba that apotropos is just a din chayshimish, but obviously that's not going to be relevant. So this is the major breakthrough of the shach. There is a little bit of a wrinkle in the shach's pshat. It's true that there's a parasha of apotropos, but l'chayr the parasha of apotropos is only for Jews. There's no parasha of apotropos for goyim. We are mechuyev to go take care of all the non-Jewish yisrael mevoso, like mehecha teisei. Now this child is non-Jewish, so you want to tell me that geirus the apotropos born kiyechad? That's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, Taisa said that legabe other things, legabe, you know, his Jewishness and his chia comes of asachas. This is almost a starting point. There's like mehecha teisei. We have the courage to get involved in this kid. He's a non-Jewish kid. Like, what makes us the apotropsim for the goyim? So you have to say something like that b'das shach. Otherwise, the whole shach doesn't make any sense. It's a little bit of a chiddush that the shach says. Anyway, I hope this is the famous breakthrough of the shach. No, so I think that he's learning. I think the shach is going to learn zochle shlobe fun of means that the parsha of apotropos is also like a corollary of zochin. It's fundamentally also rooted in zochin. That means having a guardian is something that's fundamentally good for the child. You could do things even that are not perfectly good for the child, and apotropos can go past the regular rules of zochin. But I think that according to the shach, that you know, I'm not sure you have to fall back on the taisus by us that the zochin and shlobe fun is the anabolic theory. I'm not sure that you need that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure. So, notwithstanding this big breakthrough of the Shach, you've probably been learning with us long enough in the last few days to realize who is the Bar Plukta of the Shach, who's going to take the Shach to task on this?
Taz.
What? No, the Taz. No, not the Taz. The Taz happens to disagree with the Shach on other grounds. But who's the one who takes issue with the Shach? A pretty good guess. This is about the eighth choice that we've quoted the last 3 days, okay? More choice than days, all right? So not every Shia is going to have a ktsais in every single thing. Just happened to be a lot of ktsais among the sugars of Zechir and Shlichus. But there are more ktsais in the next sugi also, by the way, just in case you're wondering. And in the next sugi also. I think it's going to be the summer of the ktsais. Okay, so comes the ktsais and takes issue with this shach for the following reason. He says that the Rashba may be right. The second day in the Rashba may be right. That Petropas can be mafreshu misamaisus midaraisa for katan. But that is a far cry to say that an apotropos can be create a geirus for katan as well. What's the difference? So listen to what the ktsoi says, and then it should bring back some pleasant memories of the last 3 days. Comes the ktsoi and says, let's go back to the ABCs, go back to the sugya of apotropos. What was the original model of apotropos in the Torah? The dividing of Eretz Yisrael. Klai Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. There were 12 portions. And let's see what happens. Yeshua Benun, they come in, they fight a couple of wars, the walls fall down a little bit, they take a little setback at Ai, they wrap up again, go back to Givon, the sun stops for a couple of hours, everything's under control, and they basically control all of Eretz Yisrael. So now all of Sheba, and it's not exactly what happened, but something like that. So now all of a sudden, all of, leave out Reuben, they're already on the other side of the who's the next Sheba? Shimon, okay, they're a tough Sheba because they're part of Yehuda anyway. Levi, that's not Yehuda, okay, good. Sheba Yehuda, Sheba Binyamin, Zvulun, Yisachar, Dan, okay, all those Shvatim. Okay, guys, it's a free for all. Go, this is your Chelek. So, all the people from Sheba Zvulun, they're walking around with this piece of paper, this big map that Yehoshua ben Nun drew for them, that says, okay, you guys have from this city to that city to this city, okay, guys, all 300,000 of us go and converge upon this piece of land. How's that going to happen? Someone's got to divide it up for them. So what's the role of the apotropos? What's the role of the Nasi? The Nasi's role is to say, okay, you guys from this family, this is your, you get lot X from such and such. You get 36 rectal court lot. You guys over there get 40. You guys get 32. You guys get 29. You're across the street. You guys get around the court. They have to divide it up. That's what the role of the Nasi was. That was the goal, what they were doing. So if you think about the model in Halacha, what were they really doing? What was the real role? What did Imamunis were the apotropsim doing? If you had to give a name for it, what do you think they were doing? Were they doing mechiras? Were they selling property? No. Were they giving gifts to property? No. What were they doing? If you had to think of the best halachic model, what would you say they were doing? So all of Shevet Yisachar, all of Shevet Zvulun, all of Shevet Dan, all of Shevet Menashe had this Yerusha. It was like a Tzvusabayis. It belonged to the Shevet of Yisachar. And now you got 50,000 B'nai Yisachar who have to divvy up what they're going to get from the Yerusha. That was a very, very complicated role. That was the role of the Nasi, to divide up Yerusha. So says the Ketzos, the Koyach of Apotropos is to divide up Yerusha, which is basically what the Gemara says in Kedushin, that the real role of the Apotropos is a father dies and he leaves behind 10 sons and you got a lot of fields, and who's going to take care of the fields? Who's going to decide which gets which, who gets which? That's the primary role of an Apotropos Midaraisa, is Chalukas HaYerusha. Comes the Ketzos and says, who can get, anyone here saw this Ketzos? Who can guess this Ketzos? Comes the Ketzos and says, because the role of Apotropos is Chalukas HaYerusha, now I understand fully well why the Rashba says that an Apotropos can be Mafresh Trumas and Meisers. Who's going to fill the gap for me? What is Nesinus Trumas and Meisers really, truly? What's the model? It's really what? It's Chalukas HaYerusha. Why? Because ultimately, all the Trumas and Meisers belong to who? It really belongs to the Kohanim. We don't know which Kohen, we don't know who's where, which Kohen, which Levi. So the role is, our freshest Tumas and Maestras, is to be Mevarer, which part of this Tvua goes to which Kohen, which part goes to which Levi. That is closer in the Imamunis to the model of Chalukas HaYerusha.
Don't
we
say that
after it's already gone? Oh, okay, so that's a loaded question. This touches on Matanish Lahumu, Kamishahumu Dami. It could be even Kodim Afrasha. They still have the status of a Matana. That's really a loaded question that the Ketzos makes quick reference to and then moves on. But the Ketzos says that the real halachic model of Dini Mamun is the entire parish of Trumas and Meisers is so close to the parish of Chalukas HaYerusha that it slips in as part of Parashas Apotropos. So the fact that Apotropos, according to one day in the Rashba, but that's not true in that Torah. But according to one day in the Rashba, that Apotropos is the Koyach to separate Tumas and Meisers, that's only because of the nature of Chalukas HaYerusha Shabbat. Now, this should not come as a great surprise to us, because who is the one who really believed 3 days ago that Afrosh Tumas and Meisers is really Chalukas HaYerusha? Who remembers? Ketzos, because what was the Ketzos trying to answer? What Kasha? Before the Pidgin Ben. The Truma, the Gemara says in Yevam, you can give Truma to a Kohen Katan. So the Prichadosh, yes, how can you do that? What did the Prichadosh say? Who remembers? No? Chazara? It was based on Naskos Maklaso. And the Ketzos rejected that. Why? Because of what? Tell us in a moment. So the Ketzos was bound to find another reason to defend the Sidus Truma Lekohen, said the Kohen Katan. So he came up with a new razzle dazzle called its Chalukas HaYerusha. And who did he get that from? Who did he steal that idea from? Who did he grab that idea from? The Chalukas HaYerusha can happen for a Katan. Which is our Tosis. So everything goes back to that. I told you there's a lot going on in that Tosis in Sanhedrin. Some guys wanted to start from Bar Machteres. They wanted to skip this first Tosis. How can he skip this first Tosis? He could stay the whole summer in this first Tosis. So Tosis got the ball rolling by saying that even if you deny Das Ches Machnesi, you still could always fall back on Chalukas HaYerusha. That was one of the answers of Tosis, how the Ger Katan got money in the first place. Remember, we're learning the Parsha Gezel Ger. So the Tosis picked up at that Tosis, went running with that Tosis, and said, oh, that's the halakha equivalent of Chalukas HaYerusha, Trumas and Meisers. And now the Tosis is coming back a second time, round two, and saying, according to me, that Afrash Trumas and Meisers is basically Chalukas HaYerusha. That explains why Apotropos works. But what does that not carry over to Rabbi Yisai? According to the Ketzos, who just took the Rashba and nipped the Rashba in the bud by saying that the Rashba only extrapolated to Trumas and Meisers because of the similarity of Chalukas HaYerusha, where can we not extrapolate to Rabbi Yisai according to the Ketzos? We can't go to Geirus. And therefore, the Shach's whole theory of Ger Katan just fell by the wayside. So this shach is a gewaltige behalach, the shach, that, but it's fraught with a lot of questions. We were a little weird. We were not even so sure that the Nafetrup was playing a role for Goyish kids. We were a little nervous about that. Number two, the Shach himself admits that his whole Shtuk Torah is only true according to one side of the Rashba. And now shot number three is the Ketzos is throwing another monkey wrench at us and saying, even according to that side of the Rashba, we're not even sure if the extrapolation is correct. So this Shach is fraught with a lot of pitfalls, but again, he still presents it. And then Kudus HaKasef, he spends just 6 pages to try to present you this idea that that's the Sugya of Ge'er Katan. So we have 3 different Mahalchim now in the postgame, how Ge'er Katan works. Does Ge'er Katan work based on regular Zechiyah? Because Zechiyah is Labitab Shlichus. That was the Rashba of the Dharam Daf Lamed Vav. Is Ge'er Katan based on Nasa Ge'er Spagubu Shal Katan? That's Toysus in Sanhedrin Daf Samaches. Or is Ge'er Katan based on Epitropus? That's the Shach in the Nekudus HaKasef in your day in Simon Shinhei. But basically, I almost like to connect some of the dots of some of the things that we've been talking about before we get back to our Tosis, is that this Shach happens not to be in Hilchos Geirus, because that wasn't even the punchline of the Shach. The Shach is in Yeridea in Pidgin Ben Simin Shin Hei, because he was trying to solve the following problem. He was trying to invoke, he created this whole Shilatar. This is almost like a Shekloli. Here, let's see, we'll give Usher a trivia question. When did you hear me speak about the Shach last? This is a good one. This is a good one. When we talk about the Shach, when we talk about Ge'er Katan, and when do we talk about Nasi Yecha and Avitrapas? This is like a trivia of trivia. You heard this from me in Chespin, in the Yeshiva, Shivat Hesder Chespin, the summer, the last strange summer of NCS Wekolol. So this seems to be the minute. Whenever there's an aberration of NCS Wekolol, so that's why I give it this year. So I gave it in Yeshiva's Hester in Chespin. It was Pashas Masay. Right? I gave it the Shia there. The only reason I remember that Usher came to the Shia was because I had no idea where the Yeshiva was. He was the only one who seemed to know how to find the Yeshiva in Chespin. Okay. Anyway, back before Abzav, you were like 10, if you remember. Okay, fine. Okay, basically back to our regular schedule program. So the reason why the Shach is talking about this topic is because he's trying to solve the following very, very difficult halachic problem. Sometimes you have a situation where the mitzvah Pidyon Ben comes our way, and we can't do Pidyon Ben in the normal way, having the father going to the Kohen, giving 5 shkalim. It's not happening. Why is it not happening? A lot of reasons. The father's sick, the father's out of town, the father's not from, the father's not interested, the father's not Jewish. You give a million different reasons why Pidyon Ben is not happening under normal circumstances. And the question becomes, now what do we do? So whenever we have this little kid, it's day 31 after his birth, what should we do? Can we do a Pidyon Ben on behalf of this child when the father is not entity right now? So this is a loaded question. So there are 2 extreme views in the Gedalia Paiskim and Shulchan Aruch, and then there's middle ground. So first we're going to quickly just make reference to the 2 extreme views, and then we're going to talk about the middle ground, because the middle ground sets the stage for the Shach and is going to open up for us some of the things that we've been talking about. So the one extreme view is the view of the Ramah. The Ramah in Simon Shin Hei quotes what he claims is a Rivash. Others question whether Rivash actually said it Lamaskana, but the Ramah claims that the Maskana Satchubas or Rivash is as follows. The Pidyon HaBen can only be done by 1 of 2 people, either by the father, or if the father's not around, the kid turns by mitzvah, he can do it himself after he turns by mitzvah. Nobody else can do Pidyon HaBen. Even a Shaliach cannot do Pidyon HaBen. Even if the father wants to appoint somebody as a Shaliach, he can't make it, he's out of town, he wants to call somebody on the phone and appoint them to be a Shaliach, there's no Shlichus for Pidyon HaBen. So according to the Ramah, that there's even no Shlichus of Pidyon HaBen, how much more so, who do we think we are? We're going to do Pidyon HaBen on behalf of a kid, even if the father calls us and asks us to do it, we can't do it. Now, nobody's quite sure why the Ramah said that there's no Shlichus for Pidyon HaBen. The wheels start to turn. Probably some people are probably thinking, oh, it must be a mitzvah shebagufo, and they're starting to think about Tosfos Rizin Ketzosim at the beginning of the second paragraph of Kedushin. Probably not the correct way to go. And others thinking about a lot of other reasons why. So Chassam Sofer throws his hands up in a drasha, and he says that maybe the reason why you can't have shlichus for Pidyon HaBen is because it says in the Haggadah, aniv lo ha-shaliach. So just as the Kodesh Baruch Hu did machas b'chayrus on his own, didn't appoint the shaliach, we shouldn't do the shlichus also. So Chassam Sofer writes, this is not a halachic, this is a nice drasha for Shabbos HaGadol or something, but this is not really a halachic reason. Nobody's quite sure why the Ramah said that there's no shlichus for Pidyon HaBen. But whatever, that's the extreme view of the Ramah. The Vilna Gaon has the exact opposite view. Those who saw I put it on the Mamre Kaimis, that Bir HaGra says that he thinks that the topic is a non-starter. You don't even need shlichus for Pidgey Ben. You don't need shlichus, you don't need zechia, you don't need apotropos, you don't need bet, you don't need anything. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry can go up to any kohen and say, I would like to give 5 shekel on behalf of somebody else. Why? How could you do that? He says, it's like parei chayva shalchaverik. If I know that you owe money, say, I know you owe money to the IRS. I want to be a nice guy and pay your taxes for you. Kuzuntait. I know you owe $1,000 to a guy you're not willing to pay. I'll pay for you. What's the big deal? Parei chayva shalchaverik. So the Vilna Gaon writes that Pidgin Aben is nothing fancy. It's not any grandiose mitzvah. I mean, it's a mitzvah, but it's nothing. It's pure dinim amenis. Very hardcore dinim amenis. It's a chayv that you owe money to the kohen. And if you owe money to the Kohen, so then any person can get up and pay off that chol for you. You don't need shlichus, you don't need zechi, you don't need anything. So those are the two extreme views. So the Ramah says that there's no way under the sun to do a Pidgin Aben for anybody else, even with shlichus. And the Gra says, you don't even need shlichus, you don't need zechi, you don't need anything, everything is good. So we don't want to go down either one of those two, even, we don't want to go to Heliger Ramah, Heliger Goin, but we want to go down the middle ground. And the middle ground is the view that's taken by both the Taz and the Shach. The Taz and the Shach both do not go as far as the Ramah to say that you don't even, shlichus is not going to work. On the other hand, they don't go as far as the Goyin and say that you don't need any mechanism. They both agree that you need some kind of a mechanism. And the mechanism could be, if it's shlichus, that's great, but very often there's no mishalech, very often the father's not even around. So we have to go down, potentially down the route of Zechiah. And that becomes a very, very thin tightrope to walk down to say that we're going to do Pidgin Aben based on the parasha of Zechiah. Who exactly are we being Zechiah on behalf of who? So this is a multifaceted, complicated question. Oh, so if the father's alive, we could discuss doing it on behalf of the father. The problem is the father may not be alive, or the father may not even be Jewish. Now, the kid's Jewish, the kid may be a Bechor, so he's going to need Pidgin Aben. So that gets a little bit tricky. There are halakhic issues, and then there are technical issues. Namely, is it really a zechus? So this is a throwback to a Gemara in the Daran Daflam and Bavam Veis. When I do a mitzvah for somebody, is that really a zechus for them? Maybe the father says, don't do me any tovus. I want to come back in 6 months to do it myself. So it gets very, very tricky in terms of zechus. But very often you have to deal with the shayla. There is no father. The father's not alive. The father's not Jewish. The father's not a bechlal. So then the best we could do a zechus on behalf of who? On behalf of the child, which of course raises a red flag. How in the world can we do a Pidgin Aben if we have to invoke Zechiah again? If you're willing to go down the Goyin's view, you don't need Shlichus, you don't need Zechiah, then everything's great. If you want to go down the Ramah's view, then the whole discussion is a moot discussion, the whole thing's not going to work. But if you're willing to walk that tightrope, that Shlichus or Zechiah will be acceptable, so then you have to ask yourselves the further question, two questions. Is it really a Zechus for the child? Maybe he wants to be paid himself in 13 years from now. And even if it's a zchus, do we have the courage to do zchusim for him because he's a katan? Which, of course, believe it or not, opens up the world of zechir mitam shlichus. What a great surprise that we have another question, which depends upon zechir mitam shlichus. Is this zechir for katan mederaisa? So this was an age-old machlokes taz and the shah. Everyone's fighting this out about on both levels. The fighting: is it a zchus number one? And even if it is a zchus, can it be done on behalf of the katan? But maybe the kid would rather say, listen, what are you telling my mitzvah? I'd rather wait to buy my mitzvah, I'll do it myself.
No, I'm saying, we were saying that if the father's alive, then you could argue that it's a zechus for the father, so then you can do it. I'm saying, it's a zechus for the father, it's also a zechus for the kid.
Maybe, okay,
but
maybe.
You see that if it impacts the kid, it's also, you're doing it for the father, but now you're
I don't know, so you have to figure out, that's a Pidgin Aben, Shiloh, who's the real mitzvah on? Is the real mitzvah on the father, or mitzvah on the kid? Is the father part of the kid? That's everybody, gotta check it out. Mishas Koch, look it out. Give you an autograph copy if you want. Okay, so it's unclear whether this chi is going to work or not. So the Shach says, I'm going to solve the world's problem, says the Shach. I'm going to come up with a brand new razzle-dazzle mahalach. And guess what? Instead of doing the Pidgin Aben, just you as an individual, why don't you do it the Torah's Beis Din, the Torah's Apotropos, Macha Beis Din. Get three guys together, Hatoras Todar, Hatoras Chalom, something around. Get three guys together and do make a Beis Din and shun. And we'll do it Peteris Apotropos. Apotropos of the Shach. That's the greatest thing in the world. Why? Because why does Apotropos work? Apotropos is great. Why is Apotropos phenomenal? Because, says the Shach, even if there's no Zechiah for a Katan, but Apotropos is Yad Kiyad Abaylam Dami. The same way it works to buy and sell property, to be Mechalik Shutfis. It works for the Rashbas of Fresh Tumas and Maisers. It works for the Shach's Geirus. And in the same piece, it's the same piece. The Shach says it's going to work for Pidgin Aben as well. That's the Shach's Gevaldik idea. Who is going to argue on this again? Who's going to come down hard against this? The Tzoyis, same Tzoyis who refused to accept the Shach's extrapolation of Apotropos to Geirus is going to stop this in its dead in its tracks vis-a-vis Pidgin HaBen. And remember, Pidgin HaBen, you can't explain away as being what? Pidgin HaBen is Zichanat Yerusha. That has nothing to do with Chalukas HaYerusha. Who told us that? The Ktzois himself. Remember the Ktzois when he said that, that's when he talked about giving Pidgin HaBen money to a Katan, so he said, don't hide behind Yerusha because the money is not the Kayans yet. The Ktzois had to come on to what? Schar hu lachem chelav avdaschem. Remember, Schir is poilim. So going down the Shach's route, according to the Ktzois, is a non-starter. But the Shach, again, is Kedaka Bakaydesh. He's the biggest believer of this. He made up this whole Apotropos Shtikl Torah. He took it out of the Gemara in Kedusha Daf Mem Beis. He connected it to the Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Beis in the Rashba. He extrapolated it to get Kroth of Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph. And now he's plugging it into Pidgin HaBen. He's saying, this is going to solve the world's problems with Pidgin HaBen, as long as you do it Derech Beis Din. So we have now a bunch of different possibilities what a take should be when we have this little child in front of you, the 31-day-old kid, and we're not sure what to do with him. We'd like to help him out. We don't want to wait till he turns bar mitzvah. Who knows what's going to happen in 13 years? So we really want to take care of this mitzvah right now. The father's not around. Doesn't exist. So what do you do? So according to the Ramah, you do nothing. Just wait till he turns 13. Can't do anything. According to the Gra, just take 5 shekel, find the coin, and get him the money and finish. According to some poskim, you got to go down the route of Zachlash. So the fun of it, according to the Shach, you have to go down the route of Beis Din. How do we pass the halacha on the shayla? This is a real shayla. I've had this shayla maybe 5 times already. Many, many, many times. Yeah, this shayla comes in different nuances. It comes in nuances of fathers who are bechlal not from, fathers who are not Jewish, fathers don't exist for multiple reasons. I've had this shayla many, many times. What do you do under these circumstances? So there are two different approaches in the Gedalia HaPeskim. What should the bottom line achorah be in these shaylas? So the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that a lot of these things are sveikis. We don't really know. Maybe the Ramah's right. Maybe the Gro's right. Maybe the Shach's right. Maybe the Taz's right. So many sveikis. So the Chassam Sofer says, we don't want to wait 13 years because you know no one knows me. So let's do a Pidgin HaBen Misafik. Misafik, you can't make a bracha though. Because according to the Ramah, the whole thing is Dvar B'Telem. So we're not sure the Shach's right. So we're not going to take any risk. We're not going to make a bracha. So we'll do a Pidgin HaBen, take 5 shekel, and we'll give it to a kohen misafik. But in the back of our minds, we're always nervous that when this kid turns 13, he may not have had a Pidgin HaBen. So we're going to try to remember when he turns 13 to do another Pidgin HaBen misafik. Then the kid will do it himself. That for sure will be good. If the father's not pointing to the kid, he turns 13, he does it himself. So we're going to try to remember 13 years from now to do a Pidgin HaBen again. Misafik, without a brach again. So we're going to do 2 Pidgin HaBens, each one Misafik, between the two of them. So we'll be yaitzin with the Pidgin HaBen. The brach is going to get kerech mekan mekan. You lose the brach no matter what. But that's what the Chassam Sofer writes. That was the minhag. That's what he recommends doing. He writes, there's only one thing, is that who's going to remember this? Who in the world is going to remember 13 years later that this kid did or did not have a Pidgin HaBen? So he says, what you have to do is you have to make a little locket, make a little necklace, and put a little piece of paper inside that says, please open at the bar mitzvah. And at the bar mitzvah, you open it up and you pick a little note inside that says, Sofik Padoi. So it says those two words, Sofik Padoi, when the kid, when the rabbi at the bar mitzvah, after he finishes laying, Sofik Padoi, ooh, like after Shabbos, we'll have a Sofik Pidgin HaBen. Someone will remember that this was written by, signed by Ramosha, you know, Sofer, signed by the Chassam Sofer, Sofik Padoi. Someone's going to remember to do a Pidgin HaBen. So that's what some poskim write. Rosh Hashulchan writes that in Lithuania, the minhag was, they would just do the Pidgin HaBen stam, with a brach, like the goyim. They would just do it straight out when the kid was 31 days and finish. So different Rogim and different Dikrim, apparently Hungary, they weren't so convinced. It was a sfeik at the din, and in Lita, somehow they had a misera to do it just following the goyim sheet and finished. So, in Bergenfield, we need to live in Hungary, nor we live in Lithuania, so I'm not exactly sure what our, not sure what our minhag, but the minhag in Bergenfield and these kinds of things. So every time we had to do this, I always did it misafik. I tried to do it without a bracha. We did it misafik, and then we want to remember to do things in 13 years from now. So I didn't think it's going to go over well in Bergen County to tell the parents of the... Again, you imagine what kind of family you're talking about. You're talking about a family where the parents are bechlal not from. The father is very often not Jewish. And it's a cousin who's coming to me and saying, I feel bad that my third cousin is not going to have a Pidgin HaBen. So we're not even telling the mother this. And they're from not for people don't even know what's going on. We're doing it as a service. That's what we do in our free time is Rabbanim, and we do services, we do Pidgin Ben, for all the people who don't get Pidgin Bens. So we're going to do it, and who's going to remember 13 years? We're going to write it, put a necklace, and ask them to wear it for 13 years. So last time we did it from somebody, it was a cousin of somebody from the shul, so he came up with a great idea. He put it onto his phone with a reminder to go off in 13 years from now, that with the word Suffolk Padui. So that was the... Somebody has the same phone. So the technology's around. I don't know. Maybe Mashiach will come. It's a Suffolk and Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Whether when Mashiach comes, whether all technology is going to disappear, but it's going to go back to the way the world should have been. I don't know. Suffolk has some Suffolk about that somewhere. I don't know. I'm not sure what the Suffolk is.
Can you give the Kohen?
You give the money to the Kohen. That's a very, very touchy kind of a thing about Pidgin Ben. Can you do a Pidgin Ben Liachazman? You may not give the money now. The only thing is that may only work if the money's still intact in 13 years. You got to lock it up, put it away. It's a machlokes Rambam Shmuel, whole sugya in Maseches Bechorah. It's a complicated story. So anyway, so this was the Eitzah that we did. So we basically did Chasam Sofer's model. We just high-teched it up a little bit.
Just out of curiosity, what is Rebbe going to do when he turns 13? Are you going to bring him in to give the money himself?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Or then maybe we could do it with regular Zechiah, maybe, because that'll be a better Zechiah. It won't work according to the Ramah. We'll see what this kid's holding when he turns 13. I don't know. We'll find out. So one time I did this with a Beis Din. I thought that it was better to do it with the Beis and the Shach. You have a little addition and component if you do it with a Beis Din. Who's the Beis Din? Any Beis Din? You got three guys together, the Matanet, three guys. So we did it once in the White Beis Medrash. So a fella came to me, gave me a whole story about his cousin. There's no father, whatever. It was complicated. A Cheshbin. And father was a Jew, a whole story. And this Talmid Yeshiva really wanted that to do the service, that his cousin should have a Pidgin Ben. So it was right after Mincha on one afternoon, 2:45. So I said, okay, good, we'll make a base in Pidgin Ben right now. So we pulled two other guys together, and I pulled the Kohen in. And I said, one guy, give the Kohen. The Pidgin Ben could be Shabbat Kesef also. So we just need something that's five shkolims. Give him a computer, whatever he was. Gave him something that, he said, okay, I'm hereby, we as the Beis are supervising this Pidgin Ben, and we're hereby giving five shekels. I'm here for this kid to the Kohen. And sure, the mazel tov. And that was it. There was no suda, no bracha. It took less than 3 seconds to do. So, and then we made a note somewhere that, Meheri Abana Mikdash, for 13 years, someone will figure out to remind this kid to do another Pidgin Ben, if anyone cares to remember at that point. So these things happen. Every once in a blue moon, these things happen. But again, it's all right out of the Shach, right out of Tosis. We're just learning Tosis and Heaven. It's all right out of our Tosis. Mamash, the Farish out of our Tosis. There's one last akuda that Tosis raises, which is really a whole world in and of itself. We'll try to talk a little bit about it now. Maybe we may spill over a little bit till next week's year also a little bit. But Tosis raises a possibility that maybe we've been going down the wrong path. We have to find the Gerkotten. We are really, really stuck. We must find Gerkotten Deraisa. That's Tosis' mission in life. We must find the Gerkotten Deraisa, and they're coming up with different ways of doing it. The Sanhedrin has one way, and the Rashba has one way, and the Shach has another way. And then Tosis takes the backpedal and says, you know, we have a new Mahalach. What's the new Mahalach? The new Mahalach is a Gemara in Yevamos called Muberish in Iskaira. Maybe the mother of this kid converted when she was pregnant. So now, when this kid has a status of a ger katan, and he doesn't have any relatives in Eila Ish Goyel. He doesn't have any relatives mitzad his father. Why not? Because Apidin, he doesn't have a father. He's what's called Harasa Shlo B'Kedusha V'Lei Dasa B'Kedusha, because the conception of this kid was before the mother was Jewish. So there was no yichus between this child. Even if it was a Jewish biological father, he's not misyaches to this father Apidin. So the only relative that he has is who? The only technical relative he has right now is his mother. He's related to his mother. That's what's called Harasa Shlo B'Kedusha V'Lei Dasa B'Kedusha. So maybe that's the Ger Katan that we've discovered. He's the guy. He's the guy. Not the Gerkotten of the 6-year-old who Beis Din found and adopted and we threw him into the mikveh. No. It's the Muberish and his guy, the Noin Tzorch Tevila. The Gemara says that this child became Jewish based on the Tevila of the mother. He's the Gerkotten. There's a little bit of a problem. Where did he get money from? Who exactly was the Yerish? So what does Taisa say? What? His mother. His Yerish's mother. Kavaldik. A son, Yarish's mother. So he was Yarish's mother, and now he dies of an English goyel. He doesn't have a goyel because he doesn't have any Yarishim. And you don't have to bother checking whether he has any kids. Why? Because he's a Kotan. A Kotan made a Mailid. That's the possible Chumash. Remain Lish Goyel, Kotan a Tzorach Lach, Isha a Tzorach Lach, so love, Kotan Yeta a Tzorach Lach, so love. That Gzerzakos, that din, that statement that was Tit Moshe Ben Har Sinai, Kotan Yeta a Tzorach Lach, Sir Acharov, is the ger kotan not of ger kotan of ksubas daf yud aleph and aleph, rather ger kotan of yivamas that defines aina and ches, the ger kotan of uberishin is gaira. So it doesn't just change the whole rules, it changed the whole case on us. That's the scenario. So everyone read that line in Tosis? Everyone thought, okay, what an easy teretz, right? Kavaldi, right? Not so simple at all. A Tosis, right? Is that a correct scenario? Did Tosis succeed in completely circumventing the whole parsha of ger kotan? So let's go to the drawing board here. The Gemara Maseches Yevamos tells us everybody agrees it wasn't a day in the Gemara that denies this did. Uberishin is gaira b'noin tzorch tevila. That's not negotiable. What is negotiable is why is that true? Why is b'noin tzorch tevila? The fact that the kid doesn't need a gairus, that's for sure. Why is that correct? So there was a big machlokes in the Gemara that revolves around what famous klal? Ubayerachim ubalavirachim. So you do them a first some machlokes in many places in Shas. Whether an uber is yerachim or not, does the halacha view the fetus as being part of the mother's body? The mother has three legs. Now she has two regular legs. Now she has an uber. That's the third uber yerachim. And I say, no, mapitam, the uber is not part of the mother. The uber is a separate living entity that happens to be present inside the mother's stomach. But apidin is not part of the mother's body. So that's a big machlekes with nafkaminas, ladina, galore, many sugars and chats. So comes the Gemara Yevamos and says, very simple, if you hold Uber Yerich Imai, then I understand why Ein Tzorach Tevila. Because when a woman converts, her entire body converts. Her two legs convert, her two arms convert, and her third leg converts also. So since the Uber is the third leg of the mother, it's Nichla on the Geirus of the mother. But if you hold that Uber Lav Yerich Imai, how does the Geirus work? He's not part of the mother. How does it work? So what does the Gemara say? A startling thing? Who saw the Gemara? How does it work? It means this baby went under the water. There was a tevila on this baby, on the fetus, because the fetus went under the water. So the Gemara says, what? The fetus went under the water? We go bananas. A woman goes to the mikveh and she finds a speck of nail polish. Calls the rabbi frantic. He said, this is the unbelievable. Here the baby's under the water, totally surrounded by the mother's body. So what kind of, how is that a tevila? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. That's the natural growing of things. Chatzitz only applies when you have something which is artificial. You have a barrier. A person has a bandage, they have stitches, they have this. Those are chatzitz issues. When the natural occurrence of things is to grow inside your mother's body, the mother's body does not serve as a devar chatzitz. That's the Ferish Gemara, Haina Revisayo. So the Gemara breathes a sigh of relief and says that even if you have Uba Lav Yachimai, so it's still the Geirus is going to be Chal as an independent Geirus. Because the baby went under the water himself. So the Gemara says in Lomdus, there are two very, very different ways of understanding what's going on here. According to one way of understanding, Uber Yerechimai, so it's the baby is converting mamish as part and parcel of the mother's, it's the same, Tanu Chada Maisa, it's the same Geirus. According to the other day in the Gemara, no, it's not Chada Maisa, it's not the same Geirus. There are two separate Geirusim going on. There's the Geirus of the mother, and then the Geirus of the baby. Whether or not you learn one pshat or the other pshat depends on whether you hold Uber Yerachima or Uber Lav Yerachima. Now, this is going to impact greatly on Tosis. Why? Tosis said that we're going to find a Ger Katan that you don't have to rely on Zach Vemshal Bafana for. We're going to find a Ger Katan that you don't need to rely on Ksubas Nafid Aleph, because we don't want a Ger Katan of Zachin, because Zachin is not, doesn't really work without Torah. So what did we discover? Tosis discovered America. Oh, Muberishin is Gaira. Wait a second. If you hold the Muberishin is Gaira is based on Uber Yerach Imai, then Tosis succeeded in finding a Ger Katan that doesn't need Zochin. Why? Because you don't need the Das of the baby of the Uber. You have the Das of the who? Of the mother. And this is part of the, when a woman converts, you don't have to consult each one of her legs, each one of her fingers, whether they want to become Jewish. Her Das, her brain, speaks on behalf of the entire body. So if you hold that Uber Yerachimai, it's part of Nichlos, part and parcel of the Geirus of the mother. So that's a Das Geirus B'deraisa. She's a Gedoyla. But if you hold that Uber Lav Yerachimai, there happen to be two different Geirus taking place at the same time. The mother's Geirus is covered by her Das, but the baby's Geirus is not. So you're back to square one. You need Ger Koton. So Tosfos pulled the fast one on us. Tosfos said that, oh, we could solve the world's problems. You don't need Ger Koton because Hachamai's case is Bereshin is Geirus. No. That's true according to one day in the Gemara, but not the other day in the Gemara. So Tosis is taking a stand on this issue. So this is very, very challenging for us. This teretz, this grandiose teretz of Tosis, is not as grandiose anymore. It depends what you think about those 2 days in the Gemara. So what do we think about those 2 days? So we have a lot more work to do. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem. Yeah. Yeah. You're on, Mr. Alter. We can't hear you. I think you're muted. We lost you. Did you not give them?
Yeah. Why is he a Gary? He's part of
Oh, why is even a ger? He's born with Kedushas Yisrael. So you got to come back to Shir on Sunday for that one. So we got Rav Naftali has what to say about that, and the Devar Avraham has what to say about that, and everybody under the sun has what to say about that. You got to wait, okay? We'll keep it in suspense for the next couple of days. All right? Good. Okay. So if I say just in terms of our schedule, so both everyone's invited to this part of the schedule. So tomorrow there was a request to have a shorter Seder, just for about an hour or so, from 9:15 to 10:15, and then some Chumash, Asayris, Chizuk, something or other, 10:15. Guys want to learn after that, you can learn till Shabbos, Ad B'chlal, you can learn day and night here. That's fine, but in terms of the formal program, so we'll start Seder from 9:15 to 10:15, and then some different Chizuk or something afterwards. So those who want to enter on the Zoom tomorrow, for those different Chizuk and Asayris, so that will be approximately at 10:15 tomorrow morning. Okay? Good. And then Sunday schedule, we'll talk about tomorrow what Sunday schedule is. Okay, good. Everyone be well.